Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we honor your power, mercy, and the splendor of your creations. In difficult times, remind us of your greatness so that we can draw strength from your presence. We feel weak down, please lift us with the assurance that you are always by our side. Help us trust you more completely, knowing that with you, everything is possible. We ask that our hearts be filled with the peace, hope, and joy that comes from the fact that you are our refuge and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever noticed, I mean really noticed, how different generations seem to speak entirely different languages? It's like trying to explain how to use Google Map on your cell phone to someone who still thinks that the best way to get directions is to go ask the man at the gas station. That's their best option. See, there's a cultural gap that's so wide that you might believe that they're from a different planet or a different period in time, which they are. Now, while the generational divide can be very funny at times, it also presents a serious challenge today, especially here in the church. The church is called the body of what?
Christ.
Exactly, the body of Christ. It's a unified group of members who work together to fulfill its mission, which is spreading the gospel, making disciples, and above all, glorifying God. Amen? Divisions within the body weakens that unity. When church members are divided, whether over preferences, priorities, or leadership, it causes a lack of focus, a lack of coordination. Just as a kingdom at war with itself cannot stand because its resources and efforts are scattered and ineffective, a divided church struggles to carry out its mission. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus warned us about the dangers of division. In Luke chapter 11, verse 17, in which he says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. In this passage, Jesus confronts those who challenge his authority, showing how division leads to ruin, whether it's in the kingdom or in the household. He says this as a response to the Pharisees who accuse him of casting out demons using the power of Beelzebub, pointing out a flaw in their obviously deep thought out reasoning. If Jesus were using the power of Beelzebub to wreak all his havoc, then why would he cast out the demons that are doing the work for him? I mean, come on now. Make that make sense. Because it doesn't. But I want you to know that this message extends beyond just this example that's in the scripture. It speaks to a broader truth that any group divided within itself cannot stand, and definitely it won't be able to survive. This is something that also applies to the modern church, especially regarding generational divides. The church as the body of Christ has often been faced with tensions between older and younger generations. These tensions tend to manifest themselves in different preferences regarding styles of worship, ministry, priorities, and approaches to leadership. We must recognize that a church divided by generational lines risks losing its capacity to do what? To fulfill God's mission. We need to focus our efforts on bridging the gap and creating a unity that strengthens the church. Not weakens it, but strengthens it. Worship regularly tends to shine a light on the differences between generations. Many older adults appreciate the comforting sounds of traditional hymns and the structure of a traditional liturgy. But in contrast, younger generations, they often move toward a more contemporary style, which includes more modern music and a relaxed approach, allowing them to connect to their spirituality in a way that feels right for them without all the bells and whistles of being what they consider overly religious. While the older generation may find Mahalia Jackson, Thomas A. Dorsey, and James Cleveland to be spiritually uplifting, the younger generation may view those gospel artists as good, don't get me wrong, but somewhat dated. While they prefer to listen to Donna Lawrence, Tasha Cobbs Leonard, or Marvin Sapp. And that's just to name a few. Luke chapter 11, verse 17 calls for us not to have division in God's house. If a church is divided, it cannot present a unified front to the world, and it's bound to fail. How can you lead us to God and be Christian and follow in his ways if you're not doing it? If you're not loving your brother and sister, no matter what their age difference is. We must bridge the gap. The church should strive to honor both styles of worship. Older generations, they can share a richness of traditional hymns and the artists who sang them, while younger generations can help introduce fresh new expressions of worship that engage with their ever-evolving culture. The goal is not to erase differences, but to come together with a focus on what? On unity. By honoring God through the various diverse expressions of worship. A suggestion could be opportunities for both generations to participate together. Maybe having cross-generational worship services, joint events in which they do things together, or services in which both music styles can be integrated into it. Like I said, just as Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. And a church divided in its worship styles cannot fully express the beauty that comes from being in the body of Christ. Amen? Just as worship styles can divide us, so can differing priorities among the generations. While older generations might prioritize preserving church traditions and focusing on spiritual formation and maintaining the stability of a standard old-fashioned worship and liturgy, the younger generations may be more passionate and draw towards community outreach, social justice, and a more fluid form of worship. Although these priorities can coexist, they must, and I mean they must, function together. If we fail to address them, They may lead to tensions that can manifest in a damaging and irreparable division within the church. Churches have split along those divides for so many reasons, so many seasons, and over the course of just the last couple of years. We need to maintain harmony. If we want the church to thrive, to bridge this gap, we need to recognize that both sets are priorities, that they are essential. Older generations offer what? They offer wisdom and a solid foundation that's built on what? Life lessons and experience. They've been around for a while. And they survived being young and getting to that point. While younger generations, they bring this energy, this zest, but they also bring a sense of urgency in engaging the world outside these four walls. The church and the body of Christ is not just a building. It's your life, your body. Your acceptance of Jesus Christ has given you a new life, a new rebirth. The church must, it needs to find a way to integrate these priorities. And this can be achieved by encouraging both generations to collaborate. And not only collaborate, but do it as a team. There's a saying that goes, what? Teamwork makes the what? There you go. Say it again. Teamwork makes the dream work. See, somebody's listening to me. I know it. Come on. Don't be afraid. I told you. It's not a monologue. Teamwork makes the dream work. And if there's no better place for it, here in the church is where it belongs. Older members can mentor the younger ones by sharing those life experiences and those insights, while younger members can inspire the church to be forward-thinking and innovative. We don't lose the word of God because a younger generation wants to say it differently. Matter of fact, that's why we got so many Bibles out there. Some right, some wrong, but still, we have an opportunity to learn. Learning is not something that only comes from the older generation giving things to the younger generation. And we have to keep this in mind. Both groups can create a church that values tradition while embracing the present and the future. A practical step might be establishing a cross-generational ministry team that works on both traditional and social justice projects. When generational divides impact our worship and priorities, it's only a matter of time before it spills over into the leadership, where both older and younger generations, again, they need to worship together. They need to work together. They need to lead together. See, although older leaders typically are the ones that hold the authoritative positions, it's essential for younger leaders to be provided with opportunities to lead, and not only lead, but contribute to the church's future growth. We're not here only for now. We have to plan to be here for tomorrow and the tomorrows that come. Amen? While this may seem intimidating, and I can understand that, it's like giving your car keys of your car that you've had for years over to your child who just got their driver's license. It's a risk. But it's a risk we have to be willing to take. Amen? It's crucial for the ongoing well-being of the body of Christ. A practical step could involve, like I said, mentorship programs. Providing leadership training that actively prepares younger leaders for roles in the church. And rotating the leadership. Rotating the worship service. How do you say a little bit of taste? Because what that does, it involves, there's a saying again, it allows both generations to put a little skin in the game. Once you're invested, whether by time, talent, or treasure, you're going to make sure that it works out. And that's what we need. We need to know that St. Elizabeth, St. Thomas, and all of our other bodies of Christ out there are here for our children going forward tomorrow. Amen? See, Jesus' warning about division is not just a warning about the earthly kingdom or families. It also applies to God's kingdom. When division occurs, it results in the three D's: dysfunction, distraction, and destruction. The body of Christ, designed to fulfill God's mission in the world, cannot effectively do so if it's what? If it's divided. My brothers and sisters, if we want the church to thrive, and not just survive, we must unite across those generational lines. We cannot let differences in worship, priorities, or leadership divide us. We must work together to honor each generation, mentor one another, and come together to fulfill the mission that God has entrusted to us. Unity is not optional. It's a call to action. Let's stand together as one body in Christ for the glory of God and the fulfillment of his mission. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.